Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 251, part 2, the conclusion to Hair. Today is Sunday, July 15th, 2012.
Oh, happy day. Thank you, Oh, happy day.
Called me up one time, and the hyper-faith people, oh, Pastor Paul, we know you're going to come up here and you're going to just pray in the perfect will of God to raise this man up off of this bed. Well, guy's 85 years old, weighs about 60-some pounds, crying out for death to come, and they want to raise him up. They didn't want him around when he was alive. Are they going to want him around when he's alive, weighing 65 pounds and sick, and they got to carry him around? No, I said, I'm not going to pray. Let's pray. Not our will, but God's will be done. But we know what God's will is. It's to heal the sick and to raise the dead. Well, I almost said it hasn't happened to you yet. See, sometimes we can be walking around and we're dead. Are you hearing this? Do you know exactly what God's will is all the time? No. Is it God's will to heal all the time? The way we think? What do you do with all the people that are in iron lungs? Paralyzed, paraplegics. Just pretend like they're not around? What do you do with them? Skip by them? How is your thumb, Marty? Is it better? Not yet. Well, it's an honest answer. We prayed about it, right? You obey God and you prayed about it. Yeah, I ran a saw last week all the way up until it started on the bone. You've seen that. All the way up, down through the nail and right through there. Okay, now that was, and 2 days later, now I just, you know, I didn't even hardly pray about it. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying, oh, how great your faith is or anything like that. But in 2 days, it healed over. See that? Well, I could have sawed my finger off. Then where would my testimony be? Get the point? Just because we aren't healed the way we think, or, God, you let this happen, my finger got cut off, that doesn't lessen my love for God. Or doesn't lessen my faith either. It has nothing to do with it at all. See, and the more reality that I face, brother, I can't talk to you now, see? The more reality that I face, being down here on the north side, the more I realize, just be yourself and don't be a jerk. Are you hearing this? I mean, it'd be awful hard for me right now to go to a high praise meeting where they just get into high praise and everybody's there and no one's doing anything. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And everybody is waving their arms, and there's these great big colossal meetings in Denver or wherever they go, El Paso, Texas, or wherever. And all the Christians convene to that certain area, or they go to Christian people's Disneyland or whatever. And everybody is all together in one great, and I think that's all right. But I just don't fit in anymore. I'm just beginning to be kind of an oddball. Know what I mean? You ever have that feeling? Like you're kind of an oddball? You don't fit in? I can't fit in there because it's not real. It says, wherever that Jesus is, there's suffering and there's need. And when I get there, I'll just tell you the truth, I do not feel Jesus there. He's not there. Don't look for him there. Well, you might get goose pimples all over your elbows and everything. And when it gets all done and they take a break and they go out there and spill coffee over each other's feet out there, where the tire hits the road, you find out it's just a bunch of people getting away from things. That's all it is. It's so shallow, I don't even believe it. See? But you'll never know that, you listening on the radio, till you get in the battle. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't under pressure. See, pressure for me holds me together. Greater is he that's within me than he that's of the world. Greater is the pressure on the inside than the pressure from the outside. Do you want to be filled with God? Well, then do the things that God wants you to do. And so, don't be a jerk. Can you imagine the angels looking down saying, what a bunch of jerks. I can't. I don't know what angel language is, but I suppose they have a word. Vipers and all, you know, I mean, jerk isn't really too bad then, is it? Is it? Ooh. Your every hair was inventoried. Your money, your talents, your looks, your whole person belongs to him. He observes what you do, the little things. Oh, sometimes you get into prayer meetings with people and they pray a story. Ever been with someone that prays a story? They tell a story on someone through prayer. And God, I really don't know why she was with this man. He came out and it, one shoe on, one shoe off, hair shuffled, Lord. God, you only know what it was. I have my suspicions, of course, God. Huh? God does not listen to gossip. And then we have a lot of people that pray to educate God. God, you know grace is this and that. And then we have those that feel like they have to explain their sins in prayer. We do not have to explain our difficulties. The Bible says, your heavenly Father knoweth. God isn't going to act on your faulty information anyway. He acts upon his own knowledge. But how boring some prayers are. Now, God, you know. Now, Father, I suspect you have already guessed. Father, about this enemy of mine, just bless him. Oh, infinite knowledge can save, if you understand it, save you so much time. Just moan. You see something, just go, Shake your head, use your hands. Be a little bit Greek, okay? Oh. God understands. Oh. You don't have to use a lot of language. You know what really does something to the Lord? When you do it. When you actually, physically, go ahead and do something. And remember, God knows all about us. All our sins and all of our fears. He knows the whole of our wrong, and everything we think. Do you want mercy? Be merciful. Ask for it. He knows your ways. He knows your positions. He knows your weary struggles. But next, the scripture expresses valuation. The hairs of your head are all numbered. Look at the lowly saints. Seems like the lowly ones are very precious to the Lord. Nowadays, we would say they are not respectable. They would embarrass many people. Fishermen, prostitutes, thieves. Let's just say that we had a great, great dinner for all the Christian greats. Well, I won't get into who's great. Who's the greatest? But you think in your own mind of all the Christian greats that you know in our charismatic movement, let's say. Let's say that we had a great, great, great banquet, a dinner. And some of our uneducated came, got up and gave very simple testimonies. Maybe they'd have brown shoes on with white laces. A long coat and then hanging over their checkered coat, hanging over their knuckles. Double-breasted El Capone series. Maybe bell bottoms on, I don't know. One tooth. Maybe they'd get up and they'd give their testimony and the English wouldn't be just right. At a great huge meeting now. And just off to our left is a huge banquet table. And there are tens of thousands of people in the audience. And then we bring up these uneducated ones one at a time. Why, it would ruin many a Christian's din-din. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it ruin a lot of Christians? Din? Come on now. Wouldn't it ruin a lot of services if you took at noontime the people that we feed? Let's say we took all those people out to the suburbs, 10 o'clock services at any large church. And they come walking in. How many services do you think they would allow them to come? Well, that'd be a wonderful way to raise money for this mission. They would pay me to keep them people out of there. Are you hearing this? Say, why do you talk like that? Because the truth. Because the truth is the truth is the truth. Isn't it? A woman called me from the suburbs, and I was very honest with her at Christmas time. She says, I'm all by myself. I'm an elder lady. I'm 75 years old. And she says, I would really like to have one of the hobos come from a hobo bus, come out and have dinner with me. I says, you don't know what you're asking. I said, that would be impossible for me to do. I said, have you ever had a hobo to your house for dinner? Oh, no, but I've seen pictures of them. So I said, no, I can't do that. But I says, in that you had it in your heart to do that, God will give you credit for it. I can't talk to you. I'm on the radio. See what I mean? Huh? I mean, the direct approach is always the best, isn't it? Oh, God, I wish I would have called this message Jerks. We live in an age of jerks. We should write a song, How Are Things in Jerkamoa? Now, we need to prize people very highly. The psalmist said, O God, thou art my God. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. See, you please Jesus Christ when you do good unto one of the very least of his children. He says, you did it unto me. Because if their hair is counted, how much more valuable then is their soul? People, let's save souls for Jesus Christ. Lay down your lives for souls. Bible says there is no greater love than to give your life for a friend. And lastly, preservation. When Jesus comes on that final day, when the trumpet sounds, wow. The Bible says we will come complete. No blindness, no lameness, no parts missing. It says he will present them without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Persecution's going to come. Let it. It can't destroy us. Slander will come and it will go and come again until it can come no more. Fear nothing, because nothing can harm you. And really, in the end, your suffering shall be your enrichment. You may not even count your lives dear, but precious shall your blood be in his sight. You know, I think when death really comes, I won't recognize it. I've died so many times. I say, is this really it? I mean, it's kind of like, now, is this really really going to be the real one now? Bible says we should die daily. Oh, you may have accidents. You may have sudden calamity. Never be afraid. Although you may suffer in body, your true self will be safe, the Bible says. Because the Bible says we are insured by the covenant of grace. Even sickness, when it comes, will work together for good. Now, I know people hate that. Oh, how the symptom people hate to hear that. I wonder if that's where they get that slang term, simps. Symptom people. I remember I had a ministry not too long back. Oh, maybe it's probably 4 or 5 years now. Time goes so swiftly. And it was about Amos. He was a bruiser of the sycamore figs. And it's the same way. Affliction is God's. Maturity comes by affliction. You may even lose a loved one. But he never leaves. Let me say something out there to the unsaved. Come to Jesus now. Because the hairs of your darling, sweet, precious head are all counted by him. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to come. Hair. Hair. He knows every hair on your head. Maybe something in here or someone on the radio, they're in some kind of a mess. It really doesn't matter. Jesus knows. But don't share everything with everybody. They really don't care all that much. They're too busy with themselves. Okay. Talk to Jesus. That's where your strength is going to come from. Find a few close friends and keep it light. But those things you wouldn't want to share with anybody, share them with Jesus. You know why? Because he knows every hair of your head. You can't shock him. Nothing will befall you that is yet not common to man. I don't care what it is. Maybe you're listening and you've got some kind of a weird habit. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Are you hearing this? Maybe you're in a high place, or maybe that you've built up a certain reputation. And you just sort of live with this thing eating at you all the time because you know you just ain't right. Why let it eat at you? Give it to Jesus. Jesus, you know every hair on my head. You sure know what's wrong with me now. You know what? You'll get peace. There are so many people walking around on guilt trips. Always walking around guilty. Stop it. Huh? They even get guilty over their thoughts. Oh, I thought a swear word. I thought, oh, I had a lust thought. Well, hey. Do you think you're privileged not to have any temptations? They're all common to man. From the Pope on down, doesn't matter. Sisters, brothers, preachers, fathers, mothers, kids. We're all made in God's image. The drunk is made in God's image. It's perverted, turned almost all the way into a lie, but no, not quite, because he's still made in God's image. Just a little bit showing there, but it's like a sock turned inside out. They're all precious in his sight. Every wino, every prostitute, every homosexual. I don't care where they're at, what station they're in. I'm not saying they don't turn from sin. I'm saying they are precious in his sight. And the Bible says, judge ye not the world, because the world is already under judgment. It's not our job to judge. Besides, you all, everybody listening on the radio and people in here, you look ugly in them black gowns. Your little hammer running around. Could be dangerous to your health. Judge ye not the world, for the world is already under judgment. In the same measure that you mete it out, so shall it be met out to you. So just don't be a jerk. Mind your own business. You get along a whole lot better with folks. Don't go on a guilt trip every time you say, oh, shut up and get back on your bus and get out of here. Just say you're sorry and go on. Aren't you glad that God knows every hair on your head? That God understands. Huh, Jack? That brings you peace. There's only one place, you know, Jack, that you can get peace, and that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is ask for it. You stand down there by that machine, you feel like you're getting kind of riled up. No, not that you do, I don't know if you do, but I mean, if you do, just raise your hand up and just like that and say, Lord, give me peace. Pretty soon it'll be there. And you won't even know when it comes. Pretty soon you'll be humming and singing. You lose your nerves. You know what I mean? You lose that case of the nerves or that feeling of inferiority that we have once in a while. And you lose that. See, there are no inferiors in Jesus Christ. They're all made in his image. There's only one Jack, one Jill. Huh? One way. There's only one of each. And of each one of those people I'm talking about, of all the people, of all times, he foreknew every hair on your head. Now, that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Now, you just got to start thinking more about yourselves. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. But think about yourself in a better way. Sometimes we can get so down on ourselves. Gee, I made this mistake and that mistake and this mistake and that. What have you done right? You had to do something right. Right? Start counting all the things you did right for a change. I mean, don't get self-righteous in it. But remember, Jesus sees you as altogether lovely. That's lovely, isn't it? I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, man, I don't feel like there's anything lovely about me right now. And that came to me. I see you as altogether lovely. Just like you see your children. Nobody else wants them. They're spoiled brats. You see him as altogether lovely. Isn't that great? Lord, I want to thank you for the people that are here tonight. Thank you for the radio audience. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, that you know every hair on our head. Thank you, Lord, for loving us even when we are jerks. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Sue, were you going to sing?
Thank you.
That was the conclusion to episode 251. That was part two to hair. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Join us next Friday for episode 252, Fear. Have a great week. God bless you.
Joy is waiting.